Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you all hear me okay? Praise the Lord. If you all have any prayer requests, just place them in a room and we're going to start with prayer. Joe and Neil, please do so. We're going to pray. Please bow your hearts. Your Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful and glorious Sabbath day. Each week that you bless us with to become more Christ-like and to be more close to you and to see your loving hands move in our lives. Thank you so much for your mercy and long suffering towards us, your people. We ask for forgiveness for our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. Please bridle my tongue and all the tongues I may speak on your behalf today on the Sabbath day, that we may only speak the things that are holy, especially today. Please bless our prayer requests only according to your will. And thank you so much for answering our prayers, whether it be the answer would be yes or no. And please bless us with a desire in our hearts to keep your commandments alone and to honor you and your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Thank you so much for all these things. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we pray this prayer in the name of our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. Our study, the title of our study for today is Call Sin by Its Name. The law of God is eternal, and keeping all the precepts is the way we show how we love our Creator and fellow man. The government of God do not tolerate and plaster sin. Satan in the third of the angels, that Satan deceived were kicked out of heaven. It has been Satan's plan to void the law of God and to make it non-effect, which the majority of the people in this fallen world are now following his steps. In Luke chapter 10 verse 18 says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And the evidence, by reading this word alone, by reading this passage alone, we see the evidence that the enemy is down here. All the evil things that are happening in this world. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. "And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as he was born." So we know that the dragon is Satan and the woman is the church. So we're talking about this passage to show the importance of how God really hates sin. Sin has no room in the kingdom of God, and he abhors all types of sin. 1 John 3:4, it says, "Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law." For people say that there is no more law or done away with, ask these questions to them. Did you create yourself? Did you breathe on your own nostril that you have the life you have now? You are not your own. We are the Lord's property. So meaning, we are to obey the law that governs us, which is the law of God. We are to obey the law of God because He created us. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? The majority of churches today have no problem on breaking Sabbath each week and choosing to keep Sunday holy and use some of the passages in the Bible to keep Sunday as their Sabbath are more in grave danger than those who don't keep Sunday as a Sabbath. But they are also in sin for not keeping the right Sabbath. By choosing Sunday as their Sabbath, they openly rejected to acknowledge the Creator God as their Maker and choose the Son God as their God, which is Satan in hiding in a different name. But there are still God's people inside those churches that our God is calling out to come out of her before He returns. So it is our duty to share them the love of Christ by giving them warning what happens if we break God's law. James chapter 2 verse 10 and 11, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So in other words, if they keep all these rest of these commandments that are mentioned in these verses, but yet break the Sabbath, they become transgressor of all the Ten Commandments. God has no respect of persons in judgment, for He is perfect. And that's why He commanded us to be perfect and be holy as He is holy. The Lord our God doesn't show partiality for those that may have become puffed up due to their position in the church. Must learn to be humble and keep His commandments. What happened to Nadab and Abihu? Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3, it says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. So remember that Aaron was commanded also not to shed any tear, because the righteousness of God, His judgment, is perfect. When the people of God plan to have a gathering each year, let's say we plan to have a gathering next year, each of us must be seriously ready in our walks to stand before the Lord during gatherings, calling sin by its name and to put it away, before we even attend to these holy gatherings. The sting of sin still pressing billions of people, and all need Jesus to heal from it. And that's why we have to get serious in our walks. How are we going to share the love of Christ and His commandments if we ourselves are not calling sin by its name? Romans chapter 6 verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Prayers are not answered by God if iniquity is present in people's lives. The prayer life of an individual depends on how close he is to God and not practicing iniquity. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." So when we pray to our God, brothers and sisters, or whoever you know that may not be believing the way that we should, we have to ask ourselves and ask them, let them realize and evaluate why the Lord is not answering our prayer. There must be something that we may be doing wrong. It's not because He doesn't want to answer the prayer. Maybe the prayer is not the right time to be answered at the moment we ask. Like for example, in a church setting, the sin of one person in the congregation can affect all members when the sin is not called out and searched out. God will not continue His blessings upon a group of His followers until the sin is put up. For example, if there's an aching in the camp, even if you or we distribute millions of tracts, pass it around, and no single soul will contact the ministry. Why is that so? Unless the aching is put away first from the congregation, then the blessing would come. Joshua chapter 7 verse 10 through 13. Joshua chapter 7 verse 10 to 13, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou dust upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they hath also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and they have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were a curse. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the curse among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves again tomorrow, against tomorrow, rather. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you." So obviously the sin committed here by Achan is the transgression of the eighth commandment of God. So by this happening, a lot of people were smote, got smote by the pagans due to this one person who committed that sin. Signs of the Times, April 21st, 1881, paragraph 17. It says, "The history of Achan teaches the solemn lesson that for one man's sin, the displeasure of God will rest upon a people or a nation till the transgression is searched out and punished. Sin is corrupting in its nature. One man infected with its deadly leprosy may communicate the taint to thousands. Those who occupy responsible positions as guardians of the people are false to their trust." if they do not faithfully search out and reprove sin, many dare not to condemn iniquity, lest they shall thereby sacrifice position or popularity, and by some it is considered uncharitable to rebuke sin. So let's stop here for a moment. So when there are so many incidents that are the leaders of this church try their best to obey what the Lord commanded us to do, and we are being accused of not being charitable, or we are so unloving just because we just want to rebuke sin. Either we rebuke sin or embrace sin with those people who are in sin. To continue, the servant of God should never allow his own spirit to be mingled with the reproof which he is required to give. But he is under the most solemn obligation to present the word of God without fear or favor. He must call sin by its right name. Those who by their carelessness or indifference permit God's name to be dishonored by his professed people are numbered with the transgressor, registered in the record of heaven as partakers in their evil deeds. So brothers and sisters, if sin is not called by its name and be reproved, the sin that was committed by a church member will be the cause of God's displeasure, and blessings will be withdrawn from the church as a whole. If one of the members of this church commit a grievous sin, we will not be receiving the latter rain. We will not be receiving any wisdom from the Lord, from the wisdom and righteousness from above. But how are we going to receive the wisdom and righteousness from above if we are practicing the things that are from beneath? Especially if a church leader himself knows that sin must be or must have its correction and did not take the proper biblical jurisprudence to correct the sin that is committed, the Lord will not dwell in the midst of them, and they will become destitute of the knowledge of the truth due to the disobedience to God's law. So what happens to the members of the church? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. Verse 26 and 27. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So, brothers and sisters, the fear of losing companions, fear of losing friends, relatives are some of the reasons why most people are not taking action to call sin by its name. Or if a church leader himself committed a grievous sin, are being protected by his family members and friends to keep his church position like nothing was ever committed. The wife should only submit to her husband in the Lord, but not to compromise the law of God. The wife should not cover the sin of the husband, or the husband should not cover the sin of the wife. The husband cannot abuse his authority being the head of the house and to cover sin. And by covering one's spouse's sin, he or she would be accountable to the sin that was committed by the spouse, because of concealing it may join the spouse into sin, just like what happened in previous years. And to add to what Pastor Nick discussed last night from the study, if Adam only first obeyed the Lord instead of relying on his own feelings and emotions or emotions towards Eve, the Lord could easily replace Eve. And Adam, for example, can fall asleep again, and the replacement woman could come out from his ribs, from his rib, the second time. Satan uses our family members and our emotions to keep us from walking the narrow path. Can you all hear me okay? I'm sorry, I have to be back in a few seconds. I apologize, I'm back now. Okay, continuing, I apologize. Satan uses our family members and our emotions to keep us from walking the narrow path. And that's why it is so important for us to read the Word of God and use the Word of God and His testimonies, the SOPs, being the foundation of how we do things in our life and how we walk. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There are many times that we make decisions without consulting the law, without consulting the Word of God, or without praying to Him, without inquiring of Him. And the result will be realized by us. And just because we did not ask the Lord what kind of decision are we taking in, we suffer with the consequences of our own actions. For example, when we try to approach someone who is in sin in a Christ-like manner, we are still being looked upon as cold-hearted, without love, but some don't seem to realize or to understand that calling sin by its name is actually showing signs of love towards them, because we don't want any of us to be servants of sin again or be in eternal death, meaning in ashes. And some would say to us, some might say to you, oh, you are so judgmental and no love towards one who is struggling like me. And that's why we are talking in a Christ-like manner to encourage them to stop sinning, not to judge them. We are only following what we are commanded by God, like in Matthew 18. Signs of the Times, April 21, 1881, paragraph 18. Signs of the Times, April 21, 1881, paragraph 18, it says, a deplorable state of coldness and backsliding exists in the Christian world today. The Spirit and power of God seems in a great measure to have departed from His professed people. And the enemy of truth rejoices at their weakness and defects. Infidelity is lifting its proud head and denying the evidences of Christianity because of the sins existing among professed followers of Christ. Many who are zealous for the honor of God feel that He has indeed hid His face from them. But like Joshua, they are more ready to complain of God, to make diligent search for the sins which have shut out His blessings, So brothers and sisters, that is the reason why our number is so low. We are not saying that we are the only ones that are saved. We have so many brothers and sisters around the world that believe as we do. But we do not know them yet. But look at those mega churches. Thousands, 20,000 in one stadium. Because the sins that are committed by each member are not being called up. Not to embarrass them, but to reprove it. They are not being corrected. And so though they may be many in number, but the Lord Jesus, our King, does not dwell in the midst of them. One of the biggest lies that Satan does today is the law being abolished and are being taught in the majority of churches today. And that's why they got many members. The biggest lie being used as an excuse to commit sin and completely put away the chance of calling sin by its name. Romans chapter 7 verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So brothers and sisters, we see that coveting and lusting all around us. This happens every day. Because the churches around us, they stop teaching the law of God. So before sin is committed, the enemy suggests evil thoughts. And when it is cherished by the soul who is not ready to face the temptation due to lack of Bible study and prayer, he or she are prone to enter into sin, unaware that the enemy got the victory over them at that moment. We as God's people have no excuse for our sins and iniquity. And that is why we need Jesus daily. Because we are still undone. There are many good examples in the scriptures on how God's people overcame the enemy. One is when Joseph called sin by its name, when he was obedient. For he was obedient and was properly trained by his father Jacob. Genesis chapter 39 verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me, but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So brothers and sisters, let's say for example someone take you in. Let's say you have nowhere to go and you're homeless. And you go into a married couple's house. You, as a child of God, been studying His Word, must be very equipped with the sword of truth. If, for example, Satan tempts you using the spouse of the person who took you in, how are you going to reply to that? Use this word. Use Genesis chapter 39 verse 9 and echo how the Lord saved Joseph from committing iniquity. Ask this question to those who tempt you. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So you being taken in by the couple who are married into their home, onto their land, must consider, give respect to them because they took you in, because you were homeless. Their hospitality was used by the enemy against you. So the next example is, Nehemiah did not go to meet Shemaiah in the house of God because he knew it would be sin, and he could only go to the temple to pray. Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 11 says, and I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I would not go in. So brothers and sisters, all of us encounter temptations daily, and it's not sin to be tempted. But we don't want to be tempted. We do not go to the places or areas that we're going to be tempted. If we have any friends, let's say best friends, if you have only one friend from childhood that is your best friend, who would entice you to sin? Who would entice you to drink again? Who would entice you to commit adultery? Who would entice you to commit fornication? Stay away from that person. Give warning to the person out of love and say, I cannot do such a thing. The Lord has saved me from doing this anymore. I love you as a friend, I love you as a best friend or relative, but I cannot do the practice that I used to do because the Lord forbidden this such practices. And if that person or best friend or relative don't listen to you, it is time to walk away. Because we are not to partake in the sin that they entice us to do. We are not to partake to that sin because we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. But in a loving way, explain them why you cannot do it anymore. So, I think it's time for the next... Yeah, I think we're going to stop here now, and I hope and pray that we are all blessed this Sabbath day.